Well, Westminster Confession, Chapter 8 and Paragraph 3. Chapter 8, Paragraph 3. The Lord Jesus, in his human nature, thus united to the divine, was sanctified and anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure, having in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, to the end that, being holy, harmless, undefiled, and full of grace and truth, he might be thoroughly furnished to execute the office of a mediator and surety, which office he took not unto himself, but was thereunto called by his Father, who put all power and judgment into his hand, and gave him commandment to execute the same. So here we're being shown that Christ is the fully qualified as mediator. We're being told that firstly, his human nature was equipped by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, that Christ is still God, and thirdly, that he was called to be the mediator. First of all, then, Christ's human nature was equipped by the Holy Spirit. As the God-man, Christ fulfilled his mediatorial office, but his human nature was equipped by the Holy Spirit. We must remember that there was no merging of the two natures. There was no merging of the Father, of the divine and human natures. There was a union, but not a merging or confusing of the two natures of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the human nature did not automatically possess the necessary gifts to preach glad tidings to the poor and to heal the sick and raise the dead. And so Christ, in his human nature, was anointed and equipped by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 45 and verse 7. Psalm 45 and verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And John chapter 3 and verse 34. John 3 and verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, but God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. It belongs to the Holy Spirit to particularly to act upon human nature, and even the sinless human nature of Christ himself. And so the Lord Jesus, having become truly a man, he walked in fellowship with the Father. He believed the Scriptures. He prayed, and the Holy Spirit was given to him without measure. Even the fact of his praying shows his dependence upon the Spirit of God. I know we struggle with these concepts because there is nothing like the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God and man, two distinct natures, one person forever. But the Holy Spirit equipped the human nature of Christ. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The Spirit came upon him at his baptism, and he was anointed to preach glad tidings to the poor. Secondly, Christ is still God. Having in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That is, it pleased the Father that all the powers and attributes of deity that should reside in Emmanuel, that the second person of the Godhead should become a man, not an angel, but a man. The glory of God was to be displayed in the God-man and not shared with any other being. God was manifest in the flesh. God became man. He did not become angel or anything else. The second person of the Godhead became a man. And it was the Father's purpose that the glory of God should be displayed through the second person becoming a man. So in chapter 2 of Colossians and verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Our Lord Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He became a man. He was equipped of the Holy Spirit in his human nature, but he never ceased to be God. And so all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. Colossians 2 verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In the book of Colossians, as we saw just recently, the aim is to lift up the Colossians' view of Christ, because they were being peddled, they were having peddled to them a false teaching that there was some kind of special knowledge over and above Christ that would elevate their spiritual lives, and this knowledge was to be sought by a process of various works of self-righteousness. The apostle is saying, no, Christ is preeminent, Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient in knowledge, Christ is sufficient in his person. He is preeminent in every sense, that he is the king, the head of the church, that he is the one who reigns over all, that he is the saviour to be preached, and that if we would increase in spiritual knowledge and understanding, we must seek it in him. We are complete in him. And so Colossians 2:3 is saying, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. Spiritual progress is in knowing him better, not in seeking some supposed mysterious formula of knowledge outside of Christ. Christ is the Word manifest in the flesh. We use words to communicate. Christ is the Word in that God shows himself to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was as God manifest in the flesh that he was holy, harmless and undefiled, and full of grace and truth. There the confession is quoting Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 and verse 26. Hebrews 7 and verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was fully qualified as mediator and surety. Acts 10 and verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God anointed him with the Holy Spirit to do these things. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. Hebrews 12 and verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So he was the mediator. This is simply to tell us that he was thoroughly furnished to execute the office of a mediator and surety. A surety is someone who takes on the legal obligations of someone else. That Christ took on the legal obligations of his people. He fulfilled the law of God, and he bore the penalty of the transgression of that law. Hebrews 7 and verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. A surety, one taking on the legal obligations of another. Christ fulfilling the law, bearing its penalty on behalf of his people. Thirdly, he was called of God. He was called of God. Which office he took not unto himself, but was thereunto called by his Father, who put all power and judgment into his hand, and gave him commandment to execute the same. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. Hebrews 5 and verse 4 and 5. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. It was, you might say, well, if he was God, surely he didn't need to be appointed. But here we're talking about his office as mediator, and it belonged to the Father to appoint Christ, the God-man, to be the mediator, to his office. And he acts with the authority of the Father. So John chapter 5, John chapter 5. And verse 22. John chapter 5 and verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And then verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So the Father sent the Son. The Father is calls and appoints Christ, the God-man, to be the mediator. Matthew 28, verse 18, All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. That is, in his distinct office as the mediator. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So it belonged to the Father to appoint Christ to be the God-man, Redeemer of his people. To sum up then, Christ is divine, he's God, he is a man, he became a man without ceasing to be God, He was sinless and yet bore the penalty of sin. He was appointed by the Father so that all that we need is in the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."